Reading today comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. For the sake of context, I'll begin at verse 10 and then read up to our key verse today, verse 16. This is the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as for shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. May God be blessed by the hearing of his word.
Just the left one. This one right here? This one here. That's my left. Thank you. Okay. It's an honor and privilege to come and speak to you this morning on a passage that I have learned a lot from. But before we begin, please bow your heads with me as I pray. Lord God, we know you are sovereign. We know that life is, as a Christian, is not very easy. Many of the times. For many of us, we are persecuted from the outside world, and in other places, we're persecuted by our own self and our own guilt and our own shame or brokenness. But Father in heaven, you love us so much that you gave your son Jesus to die for that brokenness, that shame, that guilt, that sin, that strikes fear in us, that causes us to be inactive and stand still. But we pray, Father God, that you would give us and remind us about the freedom that Christ gives through the death on the cross, the blood that was shed. And so I pray, Father God, that we use that freedom for your purposes, for your glory, and for your sovereign plan. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn your Bibles to the passage today at Ephesians chapter 6. We strongly encourage Pastor David and I and the pastoral staff, we really want you to bring your Bibles. Many times we put it up on the projector, but we want you to actually have a tangible with you, whether it's on your phone, but really grab an ESV Bible, bring it to church, and so later when you go home with it, you can take a look at it yourself and be reminded of maybe the lesson that you were taught, or maybe a good reminder for you when you need it the most, and you have a Bible in hand. So please turn to the passage, chapter 6. Verse 16. We're going to focus on that on today. And it says this: in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And some translation says flaming arrows, which I think is more dastardly and more frightening. So instead of little darts, it's an actual arrow that's trying to get us, that Satan is using to put us down and take our lives. One of the things that I visited other churches before, and then when we go traveling, my wife and I try to visit a church in an area where we're living, and we know that's something wrong when the church doesn't talk about sin. It doesn't talk about Satan. It doesn't talk about demons or anything like that. And I find it weird that we believe in God, so we must believe that there is Satan. And if we believe that there's God and there's Satan, there must be angels, which we hope for. But yeah, they're here watching over us. But that we have to also look at, there are also demons there. You can't believe one and without the other. So when we believe God, we believe in Satan. We believe that there are demons and there are also angels. And that there's a spiritual battle going on. And if Aubrey, if you could turn to that passage 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic power in this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So there's a spiritual battle going on. And for many of us, we walk around and we continue our lives on a daily basis without even considering that Satan is trying to get you. I know it sounds like scary, like it's a scary movie or anything like that, but Satan is vying for your very souls, especially for Christians who are doing God's work, who are working and serving and sharing the gospel. Satan doesn't want that. Therefore, you have a target on your back, and Satan is trying to point those fire arrows at you. Now, Satan doesn't actually care if you're a lukewarm Christian or a Christian, you know, is kind of to themselves and continues on their life in a very worldly way, but professes they're a Christian. Oh, he doesn't care about that. He actually wants you to continue to do what you're doing. And so he will leave you alone, and you can say, oh, well, life is good, life is great, nothing bad is happening to me. And then you have to think to yourself, why not? Now, I'm not asking you to ask for trials and tribulations in your life and challenges, but God will give it to you. Not to ask for Satan's attacks and harm to your family. No, I'm not asking for that. But I promise you that if you are a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, who is serving God with their very lives by professing the gospel message to your friends and your family, to other people, I promise, and God promises, that in his name you'll be persecuted. So there's a warning to there. But there's a happy ending. I'll get to that in a minute. So point number one, know your enemy and that you are at war. When we talk about the passage in Ephesians chapter 16, that you are at a war, it talks about a shield, right? A shield of faith. And then before that, in the bigger part, he talks about the armor of God. Why do we need armor? Why do we need a shield if there wasn't a spiritual battle going on? So knowing that you are at war, that your spiritual life is in this battle, and then spiritual forces are vying for your soul, you should be aware. You should know. And you should protect yourself. So you know you're in a war, but now you know that there's Satan. Again, like we were saying before, if you believe the God, there's Satan, and he's real. The thief comes to, and this thief is Satan, to come only to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus responds to that, but I came, that they may have life and have it abundantly. So here's what Satan's purpose is. It is to steal, kill, and destroy you and the work of God in your life and around the world. Next slide. In 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, it says, be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And it says here, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Your adversary is a deceiver. Satan is the evil one, the great deceiver. Hideous, malevolent, powerful. He relentlessly opposes God and his people. His desire is, again, your soul. Your body is your body. But your soul is eternal, and we need to be protecting it. He's not your imaginary character where we normally see in cartoons. I grew up with Merry Melodies. My son is watching all kinds of weird cartoons, and it's like, I don't know, it doesn't make sense half the time. But Merry Melodies was interesting. They had pictures of Cupid and put him into cartoon shape, and then they had this visual idea of Satan with a red costume, full red. He had this beard and mustache this way, and then he had horns and a red outfit with a tail. And that's someone's imaginary understanding of what they think Satan is. But Satan looks probably different, and that we can't see him, but I could only imagine him is to be happy, with a smiling teeth, you know, those car salesman look. And he doesn't want to corrupt you by doing devious ways like this, oh, I got you. More that he will smile at you and tell you all the things that your sinful nature, or your, that part of you that desires evil things, to attract those things, for you to give in to your self-indulgence, your sinful desires. Hey, look at that car. Look at those shoes. Oh, look at that dress. Oh, look at those models. They look like this way. There's all these ways that Satan will come and get you, that he's not going to, like, I don't know, you know, cast fiery things at you, or he's not going to do these things that we think, how can Satan harm us? By demons possessing our bodies that we watch in scary movies. Maybe, maybe not. But the way he really attacks us is by the things we like, the things that we cannot give up, the things that we enjoy. And in itself, those things are not bad as in themselves. The more that we crave them, the more that we need these things, is the way Satan gets to us. So so in the next slide. So what are these flaming arrows I'm just talking about? Before we get to to the second point, what are these flaming arrows? These arrows come in all different ways, and each person has their own flaming arrows where Satan can get to you and his demons. It may be temptations, pride, selfishness, our brokenness, slanderous things, the fear of people talking about us behind our backs. It could be our health, that we're worried so much of our health and the health of people around us. We also, of the body, we forget of their spiritual health. The fear of our own circumstances. I lost my job, or I don't know how to take care of my family, puts us in a bad place, in a bad way. And then Satan supplements those thoughts and tries to drive you even further down, further, further down to him. It happens. And I've been doing this for a while, and I've seen it happen many times to people who I minister, to people, my family members, people around us, even some people here in this service. But we need to be diligent. And what it says constantly in the passage is to stand firm. And when we say stand firm, we mean stand firm on a solid ground of Jesus, and that we would not waver, even in the midst of our attacks. Next slide, please. The second point. Faith is your shield. To take up the shield means to use it actively, trusting in the living God and in the living word. Here, faith is the shield. Faith is the shield. It's not like faith is like a shield, but it is the shield. And that it is used for your sake and for your protection. And then in the passage in 16, it says, under all circumstances, not just Satan's attacks, but sometimes when trials are put in your life, that's not Satan, it's God trying to help you or to test you or to challenge you in your growth, that in all circumstances, take up the shield. Not just the fiery ones, not just the fiery arrows, but in all circumstances, that your faith is useful for you. And let me tell you why, and let me tell you how. The shield is, and our faith is used to protect us and to hide from things that might hinder us from knowing God more. If we look in the book of, if we look in the Psalms, if we look in the Psalms, there's always a person who is in struggle. There's a lot of times it's David, and a lot of times he's in circumstances that is beyond his control. He's trying his best to be, a godly and spiritual person. He's trying his best, but for some reason, circumstances keep on attacking him, and he feels like lost. And I love the way the Psalms really illustrate his emotions and his feelings. He's feeling lost. He's feeling alone. He's feeling all these, feeling abandoned. And yet, at the same time, during his time of reflection, during time that he exercises his faith, that he realizes his circumstances have not changed, but his appreciation and his love for God continues to get strengthened. No matter what happens, he uses his understanding of who God is, what has Jesus, obviously Jesus wasn't there at the time of David, but he understands who God is, and he uses that to strengthen his faith so that no matter what the consequences, no matter what happens, his faith in God, his love for God, will continue to be strong. In the Bible, often refers to God himself as our shield. In Genesis 14, Abraham led his men against kings that had his nephew Lot and his possession into captivity when they conquered Sodom. Abraham defeated them and recovered Lot and his possessions. But afterwards, he was afraid that these kings would regroup and come after him. But at this point, the Lord appeared to Abraham in a vision and said, "Do not fear, Abraham. I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great." In a different way, David knew God in the same way. In Psalm extolling the victories over his enemies, David exults, and then, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. I am saved by my enemies." And this he says, "O Israel, trust in the Lord." And this is encouragement to Israel. "Trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield." So God himself is our shield. Paul here applies in this passage the fact that when you're saying, by saying that our faith, meaning our faith in God, our faith in Jesus, is the shield that protects us from the evil enemy. In other words, we need God, especially during those times of struggle, when we're up against the wall and we're feeling that, you know, we're feeling down on ourselves. We're feeling the angst and the pain of ourselves, just really focusing on ourselves. But God helps us to focus on him. Sorry. And then, lastly, on this point, Paul says to take up the shield. It's not automatic if you're a believer. Yes, you're protected. Rather, you must actively trust in God when enemies' arrows fly. This involves these things. Let me break it down to you really quickly. Actively trusting God involves looking at your circumstances and at God's promises and deciding to rely on God and not yourself. Here in 1 Peter, it says, 5:8-9, "Be sober-minded." And the focus here on 9, "Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds are suffering experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." Let me take a sip of water for a second. Oh, let me continue on. The psalm is experiential, examples of men in desperate circumstances to trust in the Lord for deliverance. Can we have the next slide, please? The shield of faith is really important here, and I want to try to drive this home as much as I can. "For by grace you have been saved through faith." And here's the idea of faith, this shield that we're talking about. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, this shield that protects you. And this is not of your own doing, but a gift of God, not a result of works, that so no man can boast. The idea of this shield is that you can't do anything about it. You have to use this shield in the times of struggle, in the times of those low times. But you know that this faith comes not from your own experiences. Like, I can't force myself to have faith in a way, or I can't use this faith just to like block things away in that sense. But to trust in God that He will protect you. And that's how the shield works. It's our faith. When Jesus died on the cross, and this is the gospel message, when Jesus died on the cross, He forgave all sins for all time. He saved us from that brokenness, that shame, that disparity that we're talking about. He saved us from those things. And so that's how the gospel for us, in a sense, is our shield. That when times are down, when I'm looking down on myself, when I'm feeling sad, when I'm feeling lonely, when I feel like my health is not the best, my circumstances is not there, when I'm feeling these people don't like me, I'm so lonely, no one cares for me, at those times, the gospel says otherwise. The gospel says that I am loved. The gospel says I am justified. I have a future. I have a purpose. I have been forgiven. And then in the eyes of God, I am made right. So that shield of faith is very, very important when it comes to our daily living. All right, let's move on. And so, my last point, you never fight alone. That's why God gives us our community, gives us this church and the people around us. If you look at this next slide, it's kind of funny. This is the shield that the Romans use. Paul is the writer of this book, and he is heavily influenced by Rome. He's a Roman citizen. He's speaking to the Ephesus, which is occupied the Romans. And so when he's giving this letter out, they're looking at his example of a shield. Why are you looking at a shield? Oh, and then Paul's actually looking to this guy or that guy, these armed guards who have their shields, their spears, and the sword. And so for him to illustrate it, he's pointing to things that they're aware of. And if you look at them, it's not just one guy who holds up a shield. It's a bunch standing side by side, protecting one another from those flaming arrows. And this is their flaming arrow protection mode or stance, I don't know. And this is what they do. So for us as Christians, when we take up our shield of faith, we're not alone. God is, of course, with us. But my brothers and sisters are here as well. I remember a long time ago, and some of you guys might remember it, but probably not because it was a long time ago. I was in high school, and we had this retreat. It was called this End Times Retreat. I don't know if you remember it. It was very psychologically hurtful for some people, so I think they stopped it. But basically, we went through this retreat up in the mountains, and it was kind of like the end times in Revelation, where the world will come to end, and you know this power, where persecution church persecuting the church all over the world, not just in some places, but all over the world, even in the United States. And we're putting through this rigorous this thing, and then we had these actors who were the counselors from this other church, and they were constantly challenging us in our faith. And we were pretty obnoxious, you know, high school students, and we knew our Bible, and we knew, you know, the major verses and the stories. And then these guys came in, and then they tested us. They pushed us. They say, why would you believe in this God? Prove it to me. Prove it to me. Where does Scripture? And they knew Scripture really well, too. And it was very, very embarrassing. And I felt like I was attacked. And I felt like, you know, that this counselor was really pounding on me. And I felt lonely. I felt like, oh, my gosh, I don't know my word as well as this guy does. I don't know what to do now. And then my brothers and my sisters came alongside me and helped me and protect me and rebutted to this one counselor who was in my face. And then he attacked them, and I had a perfect verse to argue against what they were arguing with her or with him and many others. And then I felt this camaraderie, this community, this we're in this boat together and we have God on our side. How can we not lose? I felt that. And I hope it was for us as a church that we feel that we do that too. That when Satan comes and attacks, or when circumstances God is putting in your life to challenge you, to raise you up, to build you up, that you have your brothers and your sisters, your aunties and your uncles to come alongside you and walk with you. And in terms of the pastorally thing that I want to encourage you to do is that sometimes people won't ask for help. People stand alone with their shield and they're getting shot from all sides. And my pastorly advice is to get to know that person well enough to know when they're getting shot at, to know when they're hurting inside, and to walk alongside with them, comfort them, encourage them. And for those who are suffering from the attacks of the evil one, from circumstances beyond the control, I encourage you not to hide in the corner and just suffer miserably on your own, but to seek help, to ask for assistance. We are all in the same boat. And the love of God that overflows our community, everybody you should ask will come to your aid, I promise. If they're really disciples of Jesus Christ, and the love of God, the power of His Spirit, we will come to your aid. Lastly, the joy of getting shot. And this is where I'm pretty much done. There's a joy of getting shot at because you know you're doing God's work. Can I have the next slide? I really liked this. I was preparing for this message, and then I was at the church planting workshop, and he brought this thing about Winston Churchill from World War II. If you don't know who he is, you should take a history class. He's one of the leaders of England during World War II, and he said this is really interesting. He said, nothing is more exhilarating than being shot at and missed. Right? That means that you're doing God's work, and the Satan one does not like you because you're doing God's work. And so let us take joy from it. Here it says in Matthew 10:22, and that you will be hated for my namesake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. I am, for all my hurts, for all my getting shot at, for God's glory, that's okay. I will be saved. I will be saved. Let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for today and just being in our lives, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive all our worst wrongs and all our worst sins, that you would cover those up, that you would blot them out from your sight because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that our faith would be used for your glory, that our faith would be our shield, that we would put our trust and our hope solely on the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his great sacrifice for all mankind. I pray, Father, that freedom that we receive, that being shot at and missed will be a testimony to all those who are also being shot at and missed because of our faith. Father, thank you again for today. I pray, Father, that people here in the congregation might be encouraged, especially when they're downtrodden and feeling broken. But Lord, we know that you, God, will lift them up, that you, sovereign God, will deliver each and every one of them. Thank you, Lord, for this day and just reminding me, Lord, that there is a spiritual battle going on that I cannot necessarily see. But I know that you are always, always going to be victorious in the end. And so I'm glad I'm on your side, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.